Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, because we come to dwell in the presence of your Spirit. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you call us deeper and deeper into fellowship with you, that you strengthen us, that we know you intimately, and that we do not worship from afar, we do not pray from afar, but we pray from near, right next to you, where we can feel your presence, your heartbeat, and where you transmit your purposes and your plans to our heart telepathically, that we shall know what it is you want, and that shall become our consuming desire, that we shall have no desire of our own, no plan of our own, no purpose of our own that is separate from yours, O Heavenly Father. Now that we shall seek out your purpose for our lives, we shall seek out your perfect will, we shall look for that place where you want us to be, and there we shall be, and we shall look out for what commission you have for our lives, and there we shall pitch our tent and cause an influence in this earth in such a time as this. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are not alone, we shall never be alone. We and you are one. And you work in us, you work through us to accomplish your will for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Glory to God. You know, Lydia, you play me that thing which I told you to play. I want you to, before you play it, I want you to look at this. Eh? This is a video of a song by Hillsong called Peace. The song is called Peace, and it's new. And it was sung recently in London at a Hillsong Women's Conference, attended by 12,000 people in one place. But I looked at the video and it's absolutely shocking. Now, I know that Hillsong are backslidden, but I didn't know they were backslidden to this extent, because what they are doing is actually a voodoo ritual. Hillsong. Actually, so many people called it Hillsong. And now they are saying peace. The song is called Peace. Now, of course, some people who have grown up, including myself, listening to Hillsong, all the Hillsong songs I listened to stopped in around 2005 backwards. That's when they were spiritual. After that, they became very excellent. You can hear every sound and what, but dry. Absolutely dry. Praise the Lord. Before that, their music was inspired. You tune in their 1990s songs. You know, you just listen to one and you just play it in the background and you cannot help but speak in tongues because it's inspired. And now, of course, our generation has to understand that music is a carrier of spirit. Music is not just music. Now, some people come and show me, you know, have you seen this song? And it's a good song. It has very good lyrics. Eh? But it is dry, completely dry, and I sense there is no spirit there. Now, the thing is, anything that does not have spirit, does, because God created all of us to look for him, and that's how we are created. Now, even those people who say they believe he's not there, it's just that they have replaced him with somebody else, but they believe there is something, such a thing as what? As God. Just like, you know, there are things which are miracles, but people don't realize them. Have you ever noticed, like, a child comes out of the womb and it's looking for the mother's breast? Who told it it's supposed to breastfeed? And it starts doing like this, looking for the breast. And as soon as it lands on the breast, it knows this is what I was looking for. And then nobody taught the child how to suckle. They don't suckle in the womb. But somehow it knows what to do when it gets to where it was. Now, it sounds, because of course it happens every day, so you see it. And you don't understand how miraculous that is. That a child just comes out and knows exactly what it's looking for. And when it gets there, it knows what to do. And you don't have to train it. Now imagine if the mother had to teach the child how to suckle. How do you teach a child like that? It's hungry, it's crying, the food is there, but it doesn't know what to do. So God just said, no, you'll know what to do when you get there. Praise the Lord. Now, even so, it is God created men to look after, to look for him. Now, when they get to a place where he is, they know that we found him. This is it. And you don't need to tell them anything. You know, now when people come and start asking me questions about, you know, there's this church and what, do should I go there, should I do? I know that they are in their mind, not in their spirit. And by spirit, I actually don't mean something complicated. I just mean natural flow. Then when you know, there are things which are miraculous. Like you take a child away from its parent, and then it goes back 10 years later. It will know this is my parent. Or let me tell you this. If you were to see your guardian angel, you would know that I know this guy. I've seen him all my life. But you haven't seen him with your natural eyes. Some people. But you know that this is a familiar face. And there's something about, because in the spirit, of course, nobody goes in the spirit realm and asks, what's your name? Everybody knows who everybody is in that realm. Because, you know, if you meet Apostle Paul, you know this Apostle Paul. You see him walking and say, hey, Apostle Paul, how did you see him? You know him. Even now you know him. Only you know him in a place which is a bit distant from you, but which you can be appropriate. Now, the issue is this. These people, there's somebody I know who attended the women's conference in London and went specifically there from another country in Europe to go for the Hillsong Women's Conference. It was supposed to be very powerful. Then she came from there talking about how hellish the atmosphere was. Hillsong. Now, the thing is, people who are in music, don't go by lyrics. Go by something different. Do you understand? Yeah, even in preaching, you don't go by how... Now, you see when people are still at the level of eloquence and what? Man, the guy can flow. There's a friend of mine who says, man, the guy can flow. And man, you listen to the guy who is flowing and there is absolutely no substance. No substance. It's not public speaking. There are people whom I listen to when I want good public speech. But when it comes to the message, if the message does not have the unction of the Holy Spirit, it will not help you, even if it flows, even if it does. Anyway, let's look at this video and I explain something to you from this video. You stay true. Look at that. What does that look to you like? Look at those fingers. Still. you pause? Now, I want you to look at, you know, colors are important in the spirit, eh? So are lights, eh? Now, when somebody comes singing a gospel song and is putting on black lipstick, eh? You know what that, now, when you see red, there's a reason the Bible says the red dragon. You understand, eh? And things like this. Now, I want you to see, there's a light which comes from a distance, comes as she walks. Now, the people on the side of her, the lead person, when she walks, they are kind of resurrected. Now, the light comes and comes up and now comes to the eyes, and as if they have been enlightened to something different. And just look at it. Continue. How can you say that that has anything to do with the spirit? Huh? Who listens to that and feels inspired? Like all these demonic creatures, those are things you see in what? The light comes in her face, then eventually the light turns red, and everything around it turns red. Now the other people at the side look like corpses. And like, it's a complete, now it's, there's no difference between them and the Lady Gaga video. And now that is Hillsong. Now, the transformation from being spiritual to being spiritual always goes through being carnal. You don't come from spiritual here to spiritual there unless you go through the level of what? Carnal. Where you started as worshiping God and the presence of God was upon you. Then it gets to a point where now other things seem to matter. And the presence and the purpose of God do not matter any longer. And it often comes at the level of success. You know, when you achieve a certain, I told you last time, there are temptations which come to people at a certain level of success, which will not come to you as long as you have not reached there. But the minute you rise up to that level, you find the temptation there. It's not there for you. It was there all along. You just found it there. But you have to be ready to receive it at that level. Amen? Now, these people, you know, and it all comes with one thing. Having, the devil cannot do anything to you unless he attaches you to some earthly desire that you have. You understand? Eh? I told you some time ago when I've told this story, and somehow I told it to somebody and he keeps on repeating it to me. How I had finished praying and I went to sleep. That was so many years ago, even when I wasn't in ministry. So I had to finish, go to pray. The next day I had to go and work. So as soon as I put my head down and I'm yet to sleep, I hear a voice and I can feel the presence of a spiritual being. And the voice is very clear. And tells me, it's like a person talking and I can feel him, but somehow looking down, which is also often how spiritual experiences come, even of the Lord. This one was not, as I got to know. But he first asked me that, what can I do for you? What do you want from me? Now, I thought it was the Lord. So I said that I want to know how to please you. And at first he asked so nicely, what can I do for you? And I was like, wow, this is good. So I said, "How I want to know how I can please you." Then there was a silence for like 30 seconds. The next thing I knew, something was strangling me. And I was saying, "You traitor, you one." You know? And so I realized it was a demon. And so I cast it away and it went. Now the thing is, if I could attach my desire to anything earthly, then he has you. I want to become this. Then he says, "Oh, okay." He will give you a path which will take you there, but which will take you off the course of God. You understand? Eh? Or if you say, I want to be rich, I want to be what? But he found me when my desire was for the Lord. Eh? So he knew this one cannot be messed up with. So he started strangling me. And he actually strangled me, like real strangling me. And I had to cast him away in the name of Jesus. Eh? Then it went. But the anger that you traitor, what? In a split second, the guy was asking me so nicely, what can I do for you? Eh? So now, if the devil does not have any hold, any handle of something you want in the natural, there is nothing he has to offer. Because in the world here after, he has nothing to offer. Is he going to come and say, I'm going to take you to hell? How does that sound? But you see, he has to attach it to something here. I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be president, I want to be this, that. And the thing is, he will never give you anything that you were not called to have anyway. You understand? Eh? He can never make you a superstar unless you are called to be a superstar anyway. Praise the Lord. So if you are called to be a village star, he can only make you the village star, which you are going to get in. So the thing is, now these people, and I said it sometime before, that when people go in the spirit, and they understand spiritual things, when they fall in the spirit. Amen? If your Christianity was only ever moral Christianity, you know that moral Christianity, you know that sort of thing, eh? And that's all you ever stopped. Even when you backslide, you just, you know, maybe steal and quenda and all that, eh? But you stay somehow in the canal. Now, when people take the step into the spiritual and they test the spirit and they know how to make things happen in the spirit and they know how they can manipulate things in the spirit, it gives them a certain edge over this life, eh? That you cannot live without it. It becomes an addiction. Now, even when you fall from a man of God who is in the spirit to a man of the devil who is in the spirit. But you cannot just fall from spirit to a natural person. You feel very stripped. You feel, because you know what happens in the spirit. You understand? Eh? You know exactly what happens in the spirit. You know how people manipulate people. You know how you can get this, get that in the spirit. So now you can't just join the league of those who are in the natural just walking, you know, with headphones and what. Eh? You can't settle for that. That's why you see people like Saul. Saul, the Spirit of God having come upon him, and he prophesied and was like one of the prophets. Now, something has changed about him. First of all, he's used to going into battles having inquired from the Lord. Now, after some time, Samuel dies and Saul has no way to inquire of the Lord. He ends up in sorcery because he cannot just be a natural king like the others. You understand? So it's you fall from here to fall to the other side. Now, you remember the man called Simon in the book of Acts, who was a sorcerer? Huh? The Bible says that he mesmerized the whole city because they thought he was a great man. They said, this man is the great power of God. Then Philip came to the city and preached, and people were converted, and there were healings, and there was the power of God, the true power of God. So Simon is also converted and becomes also a believer. But he has to have some power because he's used to that. So now when the apostles come and he sees them laying hands on people and they receive the Holy Spirit, he says, I also want that power. Because, like, praise the Lord. So you know that. Eh? So you know even people who were demonic people, and we've seen so many of them, deeply demonic, then they get born again. But they go back because they find a church which is powerless, which, if they found a true spirituality, they would go for that. But they can't settle for just being there and say, Uncle Debirunji Naimba. You know, like you can't, because having been in that thing, like it becomes your power. I mean, it becomes your strength. Eh? Like you're scared of losing it because you know once it goes, you're stripped. There's nothing else you have. Now, somebody who has never tested it will live without it. Because, I'm not saying you should not test it. The thing is, test it and stay there. But somebody who has never tested it can live without it. Because they do not know what it is like to have an input. Say, I know this is going to happen. That is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. Like, some guy who came out, you know, he had a case in court. Eh? He had a case in court and they were taking him. So he came to ask me for money. That I need this amount of money or I'm going. And it was Friday. And he's a friend of mine. So for a minute, I was actually taken up with what? With, we look for money and what? Then I woke up and said, but he really me? So I told him that that woman, the magistrate, or the woman was calling on behalf of the magistrate, is not going to call you again today. Then he said, Kabuleta nawe, leta sente. I told him she is not going to call you today. Now I put on my, you know, my mantle. Eh? You know, some people don't understand that. Now let me tell you, there's a friend of mine who is a man of God. He went and he was reversing there at Village Mall. And he reversed and knocked a car which belongs to a general in the army. And they were pickups of, you know, her escorts already. So whoop, and he knocked and created a serious damage. So the guys jumped out of the car. The soldiers, they came down, they came for him. You've knocked one, so you know how they behave. So he decided to go and find a parking downstairs and come back and talk to them. So they actually thought he was running away. So now they pursued him. Now they go. Now, when he's coming back, he remembers who he is. So initially, he was also caught up like everybody else in fear. Eh? Oh, man, I'm finished. These guys are good. So he remembers who he is. So he puts on a different mantle and just says, no, no, no. So now he puts on that thing. Now, when he arrives, the guys come for him. Now, when he's arriving at the car which he knocked, the woman, their boss, has sat in the car. And she sees him like from a distance. And she says, you people, drive, drive, get out of here. So all of them jumped on the pickup and what? And the woman was like, she had seen a ghost. She was like this. She said, move on, move on, move on. So now imagine, soldiers, their boss, they jumped on the car, drove. So now people had gathered. So all of them stood and looked at him. And said, what does this guy have? Now, recently, about 2 or 3 months ago, he just came and put on himself. And of course, that woman is demonic. So when she saw him, she saw light. And she could not stand it. So she said, just a car, drive, let's get out of here. And they drove at speed and took off. Now, so sometimes somebody comes and gets you off guard, then you forget who you are. And yet you are something powerful in the spirit. Eh? So I told this guy, they are not going to call you again. Hmm? So he said, they have been calling me since morning. Once court ends at 5 and I've not brought the money, bus. Huh? You know that maroon bus? Yeah. So I told him, no, they are not going to call you again. And that woman is going to be like, she has even forgotten. So it got to 5, they had not called him again. So in the evening, he's quaking. So even I went and discussed it with a friend of mine and said, ah, man, this guy is a good guy. And what? So he decided, no, no, no. Actually, he's the one who said, actually, I have dismissed that case from court. Now, Monday came, they did not call him again. Tuesday, they called him and told him the magistrate had decided to dismiss the case. Now, okay, that's just the, like, small manifestations of the spirit, you understand? Eh? But when you know that certain things cannot injure you, eh? Because of the spirit. Now, when that thing moves away, you remember when David says, take not your Holy Spirit from me? Eh? Like, there is a dependence on the Holy Spirit, which, when it goes, you cannot do. You can do. Now, but these people, now, when the devil is going to deceive somebody, people like that, he will take them away from the spiritual to the natural or to the carnal. And it does not stop there. There is a progression from the carnal to the demonic. That's where the devil wants people to be. So that's James 3, 3:15. This wisdom does not descend. Okay, start from 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, now remember this, eh? Unless the devil has a handle on you, eh? And the handle is self-seeking, means there's something you want for yourself apart from God. Amen? Now, God will do things in such a way that when you decide you only want him, you don't want anything from him apart from him, then he will give you everything you want. Now, and he has that thing of giving you first a dream, something which you want, and he gets you interested in it, and you're completely, you know, excited about this big thing you're going to have. Then he comes and says, what if I don't give it to you? Now, so that when you get it, it's not about the thing, it's about him. Because if you get it because of that thing, you'll always be vulnerable to deception. The only way you are not is if it's about God. It's only about him. Now, there, even when you make a mistake, it does not count. You don't get off. Until the devil can get a handle, you want something so bad. I want this thing so badly. The devil says, okay, I can give you a way to get it. Now, there he has you. But if you don't, if there's nothing you want more than God, he's finished. Now, no matter what mistakes you make, by the way, which will be many, you'll always come back. And you'll always be with God. Praise the Lord. Actually, you'll not even come back. You'll not leave him at all. Glory to God. Because, okay, but if you have envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is firstly earthly. Earthly means attached to some desire that you have on this earth. It could be for fame. Now, how do you think all these people get there? For fame. And the biggest deception is acceptance. Now, I have to tell you this, because some of you are going to be in positions where people who fight you now come and say, no, we are here. Yeah. Come and preach here. Come and do what? And now that sweeps the most well-meaning people. When you fail to understand, because when battle lines, I told you, when battle lines are drawn, you know how to resist. But when the people who are fighting, you come and now are your friends. No, come and preach at our church because you know what? And then you go. And then the battle lines are no longer there. Then you become a subject for deception. Now, what did you want? Acceptance. What do people want? Fame. When you see T.D. Jakes abandoning his church to go following Oprah as if she's his spiritual mother, what does he want? Fame. Fame. And other people who the Pope calls you, and you know, like, but powerful men of God, but those things confuse me. And I say, maybe our culture is, I don't know about our culture, the grace of God. Because you see a powerful man, they call him to the Vatican, and he goes and says, man, the Pope is spirit-filled. Man, spirit-filled Pope who says there is no hell. When Jesus said 33 times in his three-year ministry, talking about hell, which is a place where people go after they die. He wasn't talking about hell as some kind of, you know, you feel pain here and what. No, not hell on earth, hell there. Then the guy says, no. Now, but somebody, a powerful man of God, goes there and comes back and said, man, that spirit-filled Pope. Man, the presence of God was around there. And you say, man, there is something about this thing that you have to get to a point where, by the way, the only way you can avoid it when you get to a certain level is you only go to places where the Lord has specifically told you to go. Otherwise, you mess yourself up. Now, remember some top evangelist, what's he called? The late Robert. He went to HBO television. And you know those are people who want to mess up your thing. So they interview you about healing, about what. And they will not interview you live on television. They will interview you and then go and edit it. And then they will cut out clips, which will make you look like a complete idiot. Because, you know, if somebody cuts out what you said here, that's how even people make cults. You get one sentence out of a letter which Paul wrote and turn it into a doctrine. Yet the sentence is part of a letter. Eh? Yeah, that's how even how people end their marriages. You read one sentence and your marriage ends. Yet the person was saying something else. If you had the whole message, you would have known it was not what? So, but you know, by the way, when people decide to be fake, they can latch onto anything. Somebody sent his wife. Okay, this is just a joke. Sent his wife a letter and said, man, I'm having such a nice time here. Man, this is the best time of my life. I wish you were her. He meant to say, I wish you were here. But that E caused the marriage to end. The absence of an E. That was the end of the marriage. By the time he said, no, I meant here. Sorry, too late. So he went to what? To HBO. So they cut out clips of the interview, and when they piece them together, and you know people know how to do those things, you sound like an idiot. So they messed him up. Now, later, Benin also, the HBO calls him. Or Robert says him, don't go there. He said, no, let me go and what? He tells him, don't go there. So he went there. They messed him up. If you see that interview on YouTube, you'll want to cry. If you love Benin as much as I do. Like they mess, and of course, you know, it's like they piece things together. So you're giving an answer, they cut it in the middle, they do what? Then they bring somebody who apparently got healed and didn't get healed. Then what? And what do you have to say about it? Man, the interview looks terrible. And now, Benin even went there with his PR person. So the guy would ask a question, and the PR person tells me, don't answer that. And it's, let me answer it. Let me answer it. They messed him up. They spoiled you completely. Now, you have to be sure that you don't just go for any place they call you. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. You see, like even where I am, which is nothing like where those people are, even money, I don't just give my money to any cause unless the Lord has told me. I have suffered as a result of that until I learned my lesson. Until I did what? Learn my lesson. I don't just get money and give it. Somebody comes, you know, we are doing, then you give this, and you, just because you have it. No, I don't. So I will first feel, if I feel any resistance, of course I come from the position of, I would want to give if I have, and I mostly have. But if I feel even the slightest resistance, I will not. Because I have done those things on impulse, and they have cost me. Do you understand? They have cost me in a matter, and the one thing the devil wants to attack at every one time for people who are serving God is their finance. You make one mistake like this, in 2 weeks, your money has gone down like this. And then you're praying, God, what is the problem? The other day, I got a dream which was very weird. I even shared it with this gentleman. Very weird dream. But it comes at a time when you're saying there's something not right. Okay? Then as soon as you go and sort it in the spirit, then like within 2 days, you're flooded with money. Like spiritual things, don't play games. Do you understand? I'm just saying that to tell you this. That you can have reached a certain level and you come down. So now the higher you go, what do they say? They say the higher you go, the bigger the fall. So when you get to that, you have to be very careful about small things at everyone's stage. Who is saying this? Who is saying, come and preach at my church, I'll pray about it. I don't feel like it. Come and do this, I don't feel like it. I do not have to make an apology to anybody. Because I went through that. You say, but you know, if I don't go, he will think what? You think the other time we quarreled, I still hold a grudge. Then you go and you're hammered. So I said, I'm tired of those. I'm not going to make any. I don't just go and present myself at a pulpit just because there are people and I go and preach. No. No. There's only one person who always, when he tells me to preach, I preach. Only one person in the whole world. And you know him. And by the way, I mean in the whole wide world. Only one person who when tells me go and preach, I will not even ask. I mean that because when you move away from certain basic principles, even in your life, in your whatever, I'm going to show you certain things. Okay. So that wisdom, it's first of all earthly. Something that you want on this earth. Some riches, some fame, some acceptance, some woman, some man, some position, somewhat, something of this earth. Now, that's where the devil gets a handle. Because if there's nothing of this earth you want, he has nothing to offer. I told you that. Okay. Then next, it is sensual. Now, what does sensual mean? It comes from being God to being earthly. Then, you know, senses, of the senses, entertainment. How did Hillsong come from pure worship to entertainment? Now you see what they are putting out. They have gone the full distance. You see? So, somebody is called to sing and they are entertaining. It's pure entertainment. There is no element of spirit. Now, okay, let me tell you something. The one thing I learned is throughout all of this thing, even when I'm called on TV to go and talk about something which has nothing to do with these things, anytime I step out in public, the first thing I say, Holy Spirit, you said that when they call you and when you stand before them, do not meditate on what you will say, because your Heavenly Father will give you what to say. So I say, I'm standing here on NTV to talk about whatever, but I believe that you are speaking through me. Now, I just state that, and then I go and speak what comes to my mind. Just as simple as that. Now, some people will do that even just for preaching. No, I don't do it only for preaching. Call me to address a group of students. The first thing I say before I stand out is I say that, Holy Spirit, I'm depending on you. Now, some people even don't do it for preaching. But any place I go, it has to be that. Holy Spirit, I know that when I step out there and I've clothed myself in dependency on the Holy Spirit, I cannot go wrong. Even when I go wrong, he covers me. Of course, some you make mistakes, but even when you make mistakes, you're covered. It will not affect you. It's like it is. You say something which could have cost you, but it doesn't. Somehow people don't pick up on it for some reason. Now, when you go there in your own power, and you fail to understand that you're actually a representative of the kingdom of God in everything. Now, some of you, if you went in this and put on this mantle, and decide, all of you have mantles you can put on, and you decide to put them on just to test what can happen. Now, today I'm normal. So I want to go and sit somewhere. I'm going to the gym, so I'm normal. Then at other times, I put on the mantle of the watchman. And you just try it out. Then you even walk to a place where they are checking and they can't check you. But at other times, they will check you. Because you're... And you have to understand that Jesus is the one who used to do these things. When he's sitting with Pharisees and eating, he's just, you know, he's just, a normal guy. Then when they tell him, we are going to throw you down the cliff and they are going to throw him, then he puts on the glory. And all of them are like, and he walks through them like this, and goes. He just decides at one stage, now I want to be a normal person. So he's talking with people, he's eating with Zacchaeus, he's doing this, he's doing that. He's a normal person. Then when they think that they can mess him up, then he just puts on the glory. And they can't touch him. Then he walks up to there and then puts it back off. Now even when people see him, somebody told me, Jesus used to come to our hostel room at night and sit on her bed and they start conversing. And they talk, like up to one. Then she tells him that, you know, I have lectures tomorrow. So why don't you just go and let me have some sleep? I said, you told him what? Now she's telling me, you told him that I have lectures tomorrow. I have to go. I have to sleep. So can you, like, please go? Jesus, can you? And now you'd think, you know, the funny thing is you'd think that. Then you would say that, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. And he comes back the next day. But now what I'm trying to show you is that he comes back, when he comes at that level, he's like a normal person. Now, when John saw him in his glory, John, who knew him well, he fell down and he was like one who is dead. And he had to be lifted up. But of course, when he appears to people, he does not come in his glory. He puts it all off. And you know this is Jesus, but he's not coming in his VT. Otherwise, you cannot stand him. You cannot stand. Now, the glory of the Lord is upon you. Now, you can also decide to go for an interview when you've put on the glory of God. And the guys look at you and they don't know why other people are standing. They will get you a seat. Then you know now it's working. Amen? Like the other guy, he was scared. He had knocked somebody's car. Then he just said it. But hey, I know who I am. Then now everybody is running away from him. And the only thing that changes is your consciousness. You just say, no, this is not why. Like that guy, give me money. I was even beginning to call people to bring money. Then I said, No. We have canceled that thing. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, earthly, sensual, which means entertainment, then demonic. You know that. Now people get demonic. Who are once of the Lord and serving the Lord? It starts here, it goes there, it goes the other side. How does it move from one level to another? When people do not understand that our citizenship is not of this world. You see, I told somebody that it comes to a time where, you know, somebody comes and asks you that you're saying this, what if they gave you this? What if they offered you, like, let's say, a ministerial post? And I look at the person and say, you think I can give up what I know for something like that? Do you understand? A time comes in somebody's life when you decide that my kingdom is not of this world. As Jesus said, like, there is nothing in this world that can take me away from what I know. I am here for the purpose of God. You cannot sway me with any earthly thing. Because in these last days, now you give me that 10 years and then what? I give up, even if I go to heaven, I will have given up a lot of the glory I would have there by just something very brief here. And now that's how the devil traps people with very temporary things. And he puts you on a pedestal where now we went and met what? Then you put it on your CV. And then somebody goes and now it all starts the same way. Do you know this director of Hillsong who is doing these things? Eh? Do you know how it started? An interview with Oprah. Like, the worst, I would rather meet like a real witch than these people who come. Because, you know, we laugh about what, you know. Those ones are the most dangerous. So I saw they were asking the guy that, so is it only Christians who can have a relationship with God? No, I think, you know, when Jesus said the way, you know, now you start explaining yourself over something which is very simple. Praise the Lord. Like, how can you have a relationship with God without Jesus? Now, if you cannot answer a simple question like that and say, no, you cannot have a relationship with God because he says he's the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to have a relationship, now you see, then now you're having demonic people saying, man, you know, he has a relationship with God. Now they have confused everything. And I saw the interview on YouTube of that guy, and I'm looking and saying, my God, really? Then they ask you simple things like homosexuality. Then you see the guy explaining, I saw T.D. Jakes saying, you know, like in every generation, there's an issue which is very controversial. Then over in the age of Paul, there was the issue of women putting on clothes. Now for us in our issue, there's a of homosexuality. Man, I looked at the guy and said, really? Then they start saying, who am I to judge? There is the word. There is the word. And how do people get to that? Because they are trying to belong. They are trying to be accepted by those people. Now you have to, you know that scripture I showed you in, which says in 2 Chronicles, of a king who did not please the Lord because he did not set his heart. 2 Chronicles 12:14. And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now let me tell you something. When you come to that time, you have to have prepared your heart before time. You cannot just arrive there and you know what to do. Do you understand? Eh? Now, people, I'll give you an example. People who are if let's say you're given a place where, in a job where you're supposed to be in charge of money. The people who are not tempted to steal are those who set their heart beforehand that when I get a job, I will not steal. If you just come in neutral gear, you will steal. Do you understand? Okay. Now, I'll give you another example. People, let's say, especially men, who get married and are faithful to their wives, set their heart before the marriage that when I get married, I'm going to be faithful. If you don't set your heart, you will not be. I can guarantee you that. Those are things which you have to set your heart beforehand and say, when I am there, and you set it completely and say, when I get to that place, I'm going to be like this. And now your heart is set in that place. Okay. You may or may not be, but those who do at least are the ones who set their heart. Now, if you go there in neutral gear, if you're here and you don't know, now you see all the time you sit there and say, you look at these interviews and you say, if I get there, I'm not going to try to conform to anybody. By the time I'm there, it will be because God has taken me there. Not those people. They are nothing. Do you understand? These men of God who started out fasting and praying, and now suddenly they meet the president and they behave as this is assistant of God. They did not set their heart that I am the... He would not even know me if it wasn't for God. But you see, God brings you up to a certain place where you're known. Now suddenly you think you're going to sustain yourself there using some people who would not even know your name if God hadn't picked you from some doldrum. You understand? So you know that... Now, people like David, who even when he's king, he keeps on reminding the Lord that you picked me up from looking after sheep and you brought me here and put me over this. Now, that's what keeps him, because he knows that God picked me up from here and put me here. And there is something about him where his heart is set that he's going to seek the Lord. Even in spite of all his weaknesses he must suffer, he did have at the, you know, in the course of his life. But there is a set heart. Now, these people, you come to a place where you are not famous. God picks you up. And I'm saying this because I know so many people are going to be picked up like that. Eh? But you see, the reason sometimes these things take long is because God has to prepare your heart for it. Because you can get there and mess yourself up, like Saul did. Where 1 minute, nobody even wants to know your king. Then the next minute, God establishes you as king. By there is a battle, the Spirit of God comes upon you, you gather the whole of Israel, you go and win the battle. Then now suddenly, you know, you don't need the Lord again. And now in these things, let me tell you, the one thing I hold dearest, the one thing I hold dearest in all things is my intimacy with God. Do you understand? Intimacy, not just praying, intimacy where it is real intimate. Because there are people who pray and you can tell they are praying from a distance. You can tell they are praying the prayers of, I'm trying to get something. I'm praying for this. I'm praying for that. I'm praying for my fellowship to grow. And it's all about praying for something to happen. You understand? Eh? Then there is the intimate thing where you know that you are actually completely intimate. Now, when you're talking with God, you don't even want anybody there. Like, you can't pray in public. Even my wife, I will move away from her and go, and things are too intimate, even for her. Now, just walk away and go someplace and pray. And where there is that intimacy and where you know this thing. And it is so easy to slide away from it. But the thing is, you know when you slid, just like in these other relationships, I will tell you this. People know when marriage has failed, okay? People know at what stage it failed. They know at what stage they slid off. Now, they will continue playing husband and wife for even 5 years until they eventually accept it is not working. But there will be one moment back when they know that's where it failed. That is the moment at which I got disconnected. You understand? Eh? And don't let anybody fool you. After that, you'll know that from that moment onwards, we are just playing the kazanyo of marriage. But the truth is, the intimacy had faded. So it is with God. You can know. The good thing with God is when you go back, he's always there. Eh? And it is very easy to rekindle it. Just like this, you rekindle it. But you don't let yourself go too far. Because the first things that happen when you go too far is now you start getting earthly ambitions, like Saul. Now you want to conquer these people. You conquered all these places. Then he did this. Then suddenly it's all about him. Then the next thing that happens, you start attacking people who still have an intimate relationship with God, like Saul and his son. The scripture speaks of a very, you know, powerful thing where the Philistines were in control. The Israelites did not have any machines to sharpen or to smelt. So they had no spears. So they had to go, if you had a hoe or something, you had to go to the Philistines for them to sharpen it for you, or, you know, but they were not doing spears because they wanted to remain in control of Israel. So they said, lest we give them the iron and they go and make spears. So now Saul is in charge of an army which does not have even basic weaponry. And they are fighting an army which has weaponry. Now, only a few of Saul's people have weapons. Then Jonathan, his son, stands up one day and tells his armor bearer that let's go over to the camp of the Philistines. Who knows? Maybe God will give them into our hand. Then he goes with one spear. Even his armor does not have. So he crosses, goes to them. And then he even puts a sign and says, don't do this now. But he says, if I get there and the Philistines say, come to us, then I will know that God has delivered them into our hands. But if they say, let us come to you, then I will run away. I will know it's not the will of God. So he got there and they told him, come to us. So he went with one spear and one armor bearer. And they killed 20 Philistines in a space, the Bible says, of about half an acre. Now, after that, the Lord did the rest. There was an earthquake. And the ground shook. And now the Philistines turned their swords against one another. And Israel won a great army because of Jonathan just saying, let me go there. Now, what was the difference? How was Jonathan? Him and David, no wonder they loved each other. All of them had this thing of trust in God. That's why Jonathan, even if he was supposed to be the king after Saul, actually chose to go with David. And his father told him, you stupid son. You a son of shame. You cannot be king as if you support that guy. But somehow Jonathan was seeing more than him is being the son of his father and being king. He was saying, this man has something that I have. So Jonathan went and caused a great slaughter. But that day, King Saul, now that's how people do when they are, of course. They say something. When Saul says, we go and fight, actually, Saul called for the priests who are the grandsons of Eli and told them, come, let us inquire if we should go. When they are busy inquiring, they hear noise in the camp of the Philistines. The war is, God is already slaughtering people. Then, now he's supposed to ask God, should we go? The thing is already going on. Now, when he realizes what's going on, then he tells people that now nobody should eat anything until evening, until I avenge my enemies. Offside. Then they go, they are slaughtering the Philistines, then they get hungry, and they cannot eat. Then Jonathan came and told him, said, my father has troubled everybody. If we had eaten, we would have killed all the Philistines. But now, because he's saying, he's giving, like, God is here, you're here. God, you're in different places all the time. Now, then you start hating people who are actually in the will of God. Praise the Lord. Like, I know, like, I'll tell you this. Eh? You'd think that, you know, the things that people do, even you see the watchman, but the people who send spies in here to come and try and infiltrate and end up in, like, and it's like, and you'd be shocked at how far. Of course, some of them are for some fake men of God. That one, those ones we know how to handle. There are many actually from some fake men of God, and then some of them come and tell you stories, and you know them, but somehow you listen to the stories and even give them advice and show them the love of God. But you know they are fake. But one day I will unleash judgment. Then they will know that those men of God who send them are powerless. Amen? By the way, I'm serious. One day I'm going to unleash judgment. Because, like, people come and play games and what, and somebody comes and they, you know, like, they pray, P-R-E-Y, on the things that you hold dear. You understand? They come and say, you know, I had a dream of what? Then the sky split. Then I saw the Lord Jesus. Then what? And they are lying. And because they know these are things which interest you, they think they will... Okay, sometimes they actually get your pants down. But like, then after... then, when you go and pray a bit, then you see a funny thing in a dream. Then the next person comes, the next time the person comes and tells you rapture dreams, you're looking at them and say, Okay. But of course you don't show. Praise the Lord. Now, until you unleash, you unleash. And then you see somebody falling sick and what, and they are not here for good. But we are going to do the work of God. And we are, by the way, we are going to, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. And we are going to pull down those strongholds. Like those people who have chosen to follow the devil are going to go down with him. Praise the Lord. They are going to go down with who? And the reason they do that is because they want earthly influence. They want earthly. Like I remember one long time ago when I was listening to. Now this is the, there is a way God does these things. I was listening to Joyce Meyer. I've said this before. I will say it again. And she said that, you see people on TV and what. Okay, I don't listen to her because I think she's not preaching to people of my spiritual level. But you see, she's doing the work of God. And it's the truth. You understand? But you see somebody who has the power of God on them. And you can see the power of God on her, whether you like it or not. You understand? And you can see the unction of God on her. So then I'm listening to her because I like to hear stories of people like that. So she says, God shows her all these powerful things that she's going to have. These conferences and what, the things which she's currently having. And you know, I don't mean powerful things. Then, after he has shown her all the blueprint from start to end, she has a small Bible study in her home, which would sit probably less than 20 people. Then she started 4 years there on her Bible study. But meanwhile, she has these promises from God of being something great. Then one day, the Lord comes and tells her that what if all I ever want you to do is teach this Bible study? Then she says that if that's what you want me to do, I will gladly do it. And she said that from the bottom of her heart. Because now all I want to do is what you want me to do. So if you want me to teach this Bible study, no problem, I'll do that all my life. Now, within a matter of a few months, her ministry was big. But that was the final test. Is it about ambition or is it about God? Is it about doing the will of God or about ambition? So you see somebody, then after that, something else happened. Some gentleman comes to her. Now, you know, when God has promised you big things, then he comes and tells her, now I am going to be your promoter. I will get for you big conferences, big what you will speak in, you know, you these thousands of people. And the man shows you how he has even done it for so many other people. And it's all in blueprint. I'm going to get you this. I'm going to get you this. You'll be busy every week. You'll be having two conferences and what. And man, it's exciting. So when she finishes listening to the guy, she goes home. And then she says she prays and she has an absence of peace about it. She's not peaceful whatsoever about it. So she said, by that time I knew, absence of peace means red light. So she called the guy and told him, sorry, I will not be able. I will not work with you. I cannot sign the contract that you brought. I would rather take it this way. Now, here is the funny thing about God. He will give you that absence of peace. When you listen to it, then he will tell you why he told you that. Now, as soon as she had made up her mind and told the man, no, I'm not interested. The man tried to push, no, I am not interested. Then she closed it. Then the Lord told her, now, if you had actually accepted his deal, he was going to mess up your ministry. So he showed her exactly how it was going to ruin her completely for life. Then he told her, the Lord told her, that don't worry, I'll be your promoter. Now you see somebody having an apparent success, and you see her. Now you know the way feminism has blown through the world, including the Christian world and so on. And then Joyce Meyer is there on the pulpit teaching about submission to her husband. And the feminists are angry because she would be the perfect person to propagate their message. A known woman with a relatively unknown man. You understand? But she says, no. Now you hear her story. How she also, that also messed her up. God tells her that you have to submit to your husband. She says, that is not going to happen. He says, you have to. She says, that is not going to happen. So when she found out that God is not about to change his mind, she told him, God, you know how much men have messed me up. From my father to my first husband, I have never had anything good with men. And I swore I'm not going to, like, you know, just. The Lord says it's a condition for you to do my will. You have to obey that part of the word. Then she even says she went to her office. She was in her office. I listened to these things. And the table is here, and she lies down flat on the ground and holds the feet of the table and starts hitting her legs behind like this, like a kid, and says, God, please, please, take this cup away from me. And the Lord says, no, that is going to be a condition. So he told her that you submit to me, then you submit to your husband, because that is my law. Then you'll have. She said it was the final, like, resistance to the will of God. When it happened, it released her. Now the feminists come over, watch. She said, no, 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 leave me alone. Because, you see, the devil, now those feminists, I'll tell you, they have terrible, terrible, like, can you replicate the kind of marriage that she has, Joyce Meyer? Like, she's happy. And God's way is the perfect way. Now they will come and feed things to you. And look at the people who are what? Who are saying those things. They have been through 6 marriages. Is that what you want? So before you listen to somebody, look at their results. You are not going to listen to how to become rich from a poor person. But you see those bazungu come and lecture us on marriage, yet they are they should sit on our feet and we tell them to shut up. And we tell them how to. Do you understand? Because we have a much higher success rate. Now you see, 60% of, in most of the European countries, 60% of youth will not get married all their lives. Those who get married, 60% of them will get divorced within the first 2 years. Now, if you want their results, listen to them. They can only make you what they are. Amen? Now, but you see, I see it seeps here through corporate people and what, and they have those things. And it's a major thing. It's a major thing. And when somebody starts having that, and it's a spirit, it comes with a certain resentment. I remember I sat on TV someday, not too long ago, with a chick who is what? Who started like that. Now she's a lesbian. And she is very vibrant. I mean, she can argue, eh? But somehow, when I got there, and all I do it all the time, I subdued her completely. By the way, she was thoroughly subdued. That I was talking and she was looking at me like this. Now, and I was trying to be courteous and all that, but I had done my thing in the spirit, eh? And I knew she would have abused me and made. Then, first of all, she hates Christianity. Then they were calling me pastor. I don't know who told them I'm a pastor, eh? But then. But she was thoroughly subdued. Somebody told me, I don't know what happened to her. Somebody who knows her very well said, I don't know what happened to her. She was very calm. Eh? I said, I know how to handle. Now, I don't make those mistakes anymore. I used to. But when I go there, I can't afford to go there and be embarrassed. So I first mess them up in the spirit. Like, because they will abuse you and make you look like a fool. Eh? And even you who come here will say, I'm an hour guy. What was his eye? And they are very capable of that. So you have to first mess them up in the spirit. Then you, now when they finish, all of them are saying, now, what about this? You know, we stand outside the studio, eh? And you see, like, now they are coming to me as if I'm the kafuru of knowledge, eh? Which I am, eh? The knowledge that matters anyway. So, glory to God. So now, here is this, eh? Unless something becomes a conversation in you. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. They spoke to one another. Praise the Lord. Now, the only way your life is going to be changed by the revelation you get is when you speak about it so long that it becomes entrenched in you. You understand, eh? Like, it has to be part of your conversation. It's not some, you can't just afford to come here and then come here next week. That's why people rotate and rotate and they don't move any distance, because something has to be a part of your conversation. You have to dedicate a section of your life to it. Any revelation that you're interested in, praise the Lord. Now, there are revelations I'm going into right now, which are deep, but I stay on it for almost 3 months. Every night when I'm praying, unless I'm praying for like this fellowship or some people might pray for, like, it is always what I have in my mind. I keep on holding those scriptures and what, and I make it, first of all, a conversation inside me. Then I deliberately get people whom I can converse with about it outside. Okay? Then, so that it becomes a part of me. Now, when people ask you what is the secret to this and you can't answer it, and yet you are there, then you know that it has become a part of you. Do you understand? So somebody came and told me, but you know, what's the secret to, you know? Yeah, you know, okay, I'll give you an example. Like financial, what, you know, from where he came from where he is, eh? He's so as if like me, I'm way up there. Eh? Yet for me, I'm seeing I'm way down, eh? But I'm climbing. So I could not answer the question, because this thing, I got it long time ago. I started consuming. Now I don't even, it is a part of me. It's like asking Asanasias here, what does it feel like to be a man? He has never, like, he doesn't even think about it because he's a man. You understand? Eh? Now, there is no other experience to relate with. Eh? So now, when something has consumed you so much, you cannot even explain it. Asanasias, what does it feel like to be a man? Then you say, to be a what? A man. What are you asking? I remember one time I was with Prophet Elvis and somebody came and asked me, what's the secret of your success? Now, I realized that was a very, you know, difficult question for him to answer. So he said, what's the secret of your success? Now somebody wants you to articulate it, but you cannot articulate it if you are in it. If you are still articulating it, then you're just trying to get there. But when you get there, it becomes impossible to explain, yet it's your reality. You understand? Eh? It's like you've been driving for 20 years. Then somebody says, what does it feel like to have a car? Then you say, what? Like you've forgotten how it was like not to have a car. You've had one or two or three for in the last 20 years. Eh? So you can no longer explain. Now, how does that come? Because it becomes your conversation. It becomes who you are. You consume it and it... And I wish you knew, like, how powerful it is. Because if the devil can keep you discussing politics and what and all that unproductive crap, then you will actually end up doing nothing. You talk about things, but you are not them. But if you deliberately form a caucus of people and you discuss revelation and talk about it, the people who fear the Lord spoke among themselves. And then you speak. It's entering inside you. The next thing you know, you are manifesting it and you don't even know how. Do you understand? Eh? Now, that is a very powerful key, which I wish everyone of you knew. That when you're praying, even when you're not praying, when you're conversing, when you're talking, that's why the Lord told Joshua that don't let it get away from your eyes. Stay in it. So shall you make yourself successful. Not the Lord make you. No. You make yourself. Eh? You make yourself by getting those words and making them a part of you by talking. The most powerful way is talking. Now, I remember when I used to do football a long time ago, so many years ago when I was, you know, consumed in that thing. Yeah? So you go on TV and you start rolling off names of people, rolling off names, ages. They ask you how old is so-and-so, you know. Then, until one day I remember some guy asked me, but how do you know all those things? And I was like, that was my conversation. When we'd sit down to talk, we are talking football. When we do that, we are talking football. Now, if football is something that could grow me, I would be very far right now. Now, so you get to a point where you get something which can grow you, and you talk about it, think about it. Just do that for 3 months and see. By then, your life cannot remain the same. Amen? Whatever the revelation. So even if somebody is sick and you just consume yourself with that revelation of healing and you just consume yourself, especially when you're talking to yourself, but even, you see, the Lord spoke to one another and the Lord listened and heard them. So they are talking to each other, but the Lord is listening and something is being planted inside them. Now, that thing that is planted cannot manifest until it is a part of your daily conversation. And with yourself and with other people. Now, when Philippians 3:18. Now, remember what I told you about the devil giving a handle? For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? I'm sure you know so many of them. Eh? Anything that is what, that is going to get the money and what, their God is their belly. And that's their God. That's all they care about. Eh? Okay, whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who set their mind on earthly things. Now a time comes. Now here is the thing. When you have gotten over things of being excited about a car, excited about a big house, then you are ready to get them. Amen? When you're excited about the revelation more than what comes out of the revelation. Now, then you'll see how easily those things come. Because there's something, it's like an aspiration, eh? It's still earthly. You're still thinking earthly. I aspire to do this. Then you aspire to eat the revelation that produces that thing. Then you deliberately create a caucus of people to discuss it. Now I see people with book clubs, discussing these clubs of these guys who write how to be rich. Eh? And they discuss the book clubs 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and they are broke. Now if people did that for these revelations, eh, I can guarantee you not even 1 year. There would be a big... And it just happens. From within you, the next thing you know, it is there. And now, you even forget the experience of not having never had it. Okay. It is there, this is why you got to set their minds on earthly things. Okay. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That means to himself and to us. Show us the same verse in King James Version. For our conversation, the other one says our citizenship. This one says our conversation is in heaven. Okay? Now you can actually have a conversation in heaven. And you're conversing the things which are being conversed in heaven. The same things, and you converse them. And then you become somebody who is... For who everything you need actually is heavenly. Praise the Lord. then you understand that these are things which, like, religion had taken away from all of us, by the way, make no mistake, where you see Jesus, you see what, and you see yourself as detached from him. Then you realize everything the Bible says of him, apart from his hierarchy, is true of you. Okay? Then you realize that the other day, I started meditating on that scripture, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. One spirit with the Lord. So I'm one spirit with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Eh? So what spirit is the Lord? That's Jesus. What spirit is he? Then the Bible says he's a life-giving spirit. So I'm a life-giving spirit. So I started completely getting this understanding that I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit. Now, you say, I know that. No, you don't. Because that's why you manifest results of the flesh, because you are not yet there. Now, when you actually eat that revelation, you cannot be killed. Because how can you kill a spirit? Do you understand? Now, if people knew that the soul, I was talking to a doctor just yesterday, a gynecologist. Now, he says he's getting out a baby from a lady, and she's bleeding profusely. She's bleeding. Now, it's danger. So she says, she starts speaking in Luganda, I've seen my mother. My mother has come for me. She died a long time ago. She has come for me. Now, as soon as she said that, the machines started straight. You know what that means. So he told her, tell your mother to go back. You're not yet coming. Then she said, No, but I loved. I said, tell her, Mugamba again. Then she was saying, no, you know, she told her, Mugamba again. Then she spoke and said, Mama, genda, sigenda kujakati. Immediately she said that, the machine started, tiri, 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 tiri. Like, people decide to die. Do you know that? Eh? Like, you're a spirit. You actually decide to move to the other side. Now, he told me, even other doctors who are not born again, when somebody starts seeing things, you tell them to go away. And as soon as you tell them, the machines respond. And now this is a doctor. I'm not talking about somebody who is, you know, whatever. A doctor told me yesterday, like, Mugamba again, genda. The woman said, Mama, genda. And the woman lived. And somehow she survived. Now, she can decide to go. And she doesn't know what she's doing. Eh? So somebody comes and calls her. That's what they do. Eh? Like, somebody come, Jangu, come. And then you think, Bambi, my mother, what? Then you go and die. Now, there are people who decide, by the way, you know, these realities are very interesting. Eh? Where somebody says, no, I'm not yet ready to die. And they have made a firm decision that they are not yet ready. And they will not, by the way, whether they are born again or not. This guy said, Infantia, sina vya kola. So, like, no, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. Now, somebody, you put yourself completely like in the earthly realm. You don't know your spirit. You're one spirit with the Lord. You're a life-giving spirit, which means life flows through you. Which means you can even touch somebody who is dead and he comes to life. Because you're a life-giving spirit. Eh? That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 5. Yes, here. Eh? The first Adam became a living being, who you were. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, who is Jesus. Now, anything is spirit, Jesus, you. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6, what? Where does it, 6, 6, 17? Yes. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, when you meditate on that, just that, you will see how your life changes. Just that. Like, you're one spirit with Jesus. You're not separate from me. Everything that is true of him is true of you. You are in him, the Bible says. Do you understand? Now, religion tries to separate you, but no, you say, no, I'm in him. So, his manifestation, now when the revelation comes inside you completely and swallows you up, then you start having the same manifestations that he did. I remember Smith Wiggles was saying how one day he was lying on a bed with a friend of his, sleeping. Then the Lord spoke to him very loudly and he told him that, I am going to take every bit of Smith out of you and all that will be left is Jesus, is me. Then he turned because the voice was so loud and told his friend, did you hear that? The voice said, I didn't hear that. So, now, towards the end of his life, the same things with Jesus. The same things. He finds somebody dead, he stops them, resurrects the person. Like the way Jesus used to be walking, a woman, Bambi, she has lost her only son. Wait, stop the coffin. Come up. Then you move on. Then even in trains, the guy is Torres, and of course most of them, he was an illiterate man, so he didn't write. I think the only book he really was picked from his sermons was a book called Ever Increasing Faith. All of them were just people writing about him. But in a train, he would go and find people who are sick, and he tells them, do you know, you can be, I have a cure for you. It has never known to fail. Then he's just raising their faith. They think he has some kind of drug. Then he says, I have a cure for you. It can cure your arthritis right now. The man says, what do you mean? Right now, you can walk, stand up and walk and even jump and squat and what, and you'll be okay. Are you sure? Yes. This cure has never failed anyone. And then he psychs the guy up, then opens for him the scripture. By the time he opens the scripture, the guy is ready. Then he just pulls him up and makes him walk and goes to the next cabin of the train, finds another one sick, gets him up, goes to the next cabin of the train. Then by the time they have reached where they are going, there is no sick person in the train. And now, that is, he's one spirit with the Lord. So he's manifesting the same results with God, you know, with the Lord. Now, you can do that by meditating on, I'm one spirit with God, or rather with Jesus. So I am joined to him, I'm one spirit with him. Now, by the way, let me tell you, the first thing that changed when I started meditating on that is my financial situation. For some reason, I got a lot of money. I don't know what spirit has to do with money, but I got a lot of money. But do you know, everything the Bible says about you is true in the spirit, not in the flesh. Eh? So when you meditate on spirit, you automatically know you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know, you are. If you're a life-giving spirit, how can you be sick? When you actually there dispensing life. Pew, pew. Life is just flowing out of you everywhere. So how can you be sick? Eh? When the life giver himself is inside you. You understand? Then at that level, every truth of God. At that level, you know everything. At that level, you cannot sin, the Bible says. At that level, you're righteous. You're the righteousness of God. Now, when you come down to the flesh, then you start undercutting yourself. No, you know, I'm not this. We are waiting for blessings. Why doesn't he bless us with material blessings and not spiritual blessings? But they are the same. You just have to go to the spirit and get them. How do you go to the spirit? Inside your heart. You don't go up. You just settle down. Okay, in reality, actually, you go up. Eh? Because at that level, you are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, which is where you are. Now, why isn't it manifesting in the natural? Because you're here. You're not supposed to be here. What are you doing here? Go to the spirit. Now, you start doing that and you tell me. And I want you to come and give. Just start saying, I'm one spirit with the Lord. I manifest the same results as Jesus. Man, I'm blessed. Eh? In the spirit, I'm blessed. I'm what? All the things the Bible says about you in the spirit, they are all there. You just have to go to the spirit and get to them. They are yours. They are there. You understand? Eh? The only thing that has separated you is that you're here, not there. So what are you doing here? Go there. So now, you start saying, I'm one spirit with the Lord. Okay? I'm a life-giving spirit. In the spirit, I'm blessed. The blessings of Abraham are mine. In the spirit, I am totally provided for. In the spirit, I cannot be sick. In the spirit, I cannot sin. 1 John 3:9. What does it say? Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin. So in the spirit, you cannot sin. Okay? Yes, you are born of God. And it says elsewhere, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. In the spirit, you overcome the world. So just get into the spirit and you'll see the victory. In the spirit, victory is guaranteed. There is no defeat for you in the spirit because your experience is tied with Jesus. Do you understand? Eh? Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because the deception that is coming here is presenting you with things in the natural which you can get without compromising any of your principles in the spirit by just going there. And you go there on your bed. You go there in your office when you're free, in a taxi, in a car or something, and just say, man, I'm one spirit with the Lord. His results are my result. Like, can you just confess it and believe it? And it might take you a while to believe it. But if you actually now make it a conversation and even call some people around you and say, what have you found out? Then the guy says, you know, I found out that it says here in this scripture. Then you say, huh, what is that? Then, you know, you go to and fro, and you discuss it over a cup of something. So you sit down and chew on these things purposely. Now, it is more important than the other conversations you're going to have, than the gossip. And man, there is gossip in church. Man, like, people have a lot of time, by the way. Too much gossip. Praise the Lord. Don't you gossip. Okay, you gossip if you want. Eh? But spare time to for the things that really matter. Amen? Like, just, how simple can things get? Really? How simple can things get? You know, I was reading the Bible and I saw Isaac had gone in the evening to go and meditate. So Isaac goes in the evening to go to the field and meditate. A farmer is meditating. That's when they brought for him his wife, Rebecca. Praise the Lord. Yeah? Somebody say, I'm a spirit. Say, I'm one spirit with Jesus. His results are my results. His manifestations are my manifestation. I am in the spirit. I am not in the flesh. In the spirit, I am blessed. I am multiplied. I cannot sin. I cannot get sick. I am above failure. In the spirit, victory is guaranteed. Blessing is guaranteed. Protection is guaranteed. I am a spirit, so I can't die. How can you kill a spirit? Ask your neighbor, how can you kill a spirit? Can you kill a spirit? If you can kill a spirit, then you can kill me. But because you cannot kill a spirit, you cannot kill me. Because you cannot curse a spirit, you cannot curse me. Because you cannot defeat a spirit, you cannot defeat me. Because I am one spirit with Jesus. I am one spirit with Jesus. I am one spirit with Jesus. Keep on saying it until I just say stop. Keep on saying it. Say, I'm one spirit with Jesus. I am one spirit with Jesus. I am one spirit with Jesus. Keep on saying it and continue. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Say it. Say it. Don't stop. Don't stop. I am one spirit with Jesus. I am one spirit with Jesus. Until I tell you to stop. Hallelujah. Okay, stop. Now go and feed on that. That is food for you. Go and feed on that and see the manifestation of it. Because the manifestation is so near. That word gets to your heart. You cannot remain the same. You cannot fear people who scare you. They are going to kill you. How can you kill a spirit? Praise the Lord. You are a spirit. Glory to God. Amen? How can you fear sickness when you are a life-giving spirit? Romans 8:11. If the spirit of he who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, say he does. Say he does. It goes on to say, then he who raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He will give life. He quickens, he gives life, he quickens, he does all those things. Now, that means you can actually be regenerated. I'm not going to even minister to you. Let me show you certain things. Now, go to Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, that means you can be renewed, even your bodies. And you look younger than your age. Because you're regenerated. Do you understand? Like there's something inside you which is... And you know, like every cell that dies is regenerated by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Because the spirit of life is in you. Eh? And now life, that means life, the whole is in you. Do you understand? So you can be regenerated and you look younger than your age like me. I'm joking. Eh? I'm not actually. But... Do you understand? Eh? Where you, he says, how old are you? Eh? Like Pastor Rego here. Pastor Rego can lie you very well about his age. Eh? And you'll accept. Eh? Because there is regeneration. Eh? Eh? Amen. Eh? Regeneration. Like there is a renewing every day. Renewing every day. So you see this woman, like she's looking hotter every day. Hotter every day. Mm. Amen. Eh. And even everything remains standing on you. Like when you were 16, eh? Praise. By the way, By the way, like, these scriptures, man, mean a lot to, because you accept to grow old. And people get it in their minds, oh, we're growing old. Now at this age, I cannot do this. At this age, I cannot do this. Now, even when I go to the gym to work out, I remind myself that, no, regeneration. Eh? The things I could do at 20, I can do now. Because I have been what? Regenerated. Eh? The regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You're renewed every day, every day, every day. You become a new person. Praise the Lord. Yeah, like Sarah. So that at 90, kings are seeing you and saying, man, that chick is very hot. And you're 80, she was 89. The time Abimelech saw her, 89. And the king was saying, man, can you imagine 89? So, regeneration. Regeneration. Eh? And the king wasn't seeing in the spirit, you're seeing in the flesh. Eh? Praise the Lord. By the way, do you know this thing? I read Caleb saying that I was 45 years old. Eh? When we went to spy the promised land. Now I am 85 years and my strength has not diminished. I can still do the things I did at the age of 40. Now that is something unique. Do you understand? Eh? Now that is regeneration. Because he believed in a certain principle. And this person believes it. Now Abraham believes in something. He gives birth to a miracle baby at the age of 100. A miracle baby. His body is dead. But he gives birth to a miracle baby at the age of. Now, his wife Sarah died at 121, which means 30 years, because for her she was 90. So she died at 121. Now, 30 years later, Abraham marries another woman and produces 6 children. Can you imagine? Even the first one was just a miracle. But the revelation got into him. Now, you know, his energy is undiminished. 6 children. Praise the Lord. He married at 130 and had 6 children. Now, do you think the Bible tells us these things for fun? There are certain things that you can actually get a regeneration. There's a guy who told me he got this revelation. He's one of the people I sit with on purpose to discuss these things. He had a chiwarata. The hair grew back. I'm telling you the truth. The hair grew back. He had a chiwarata like this. You? Like this. You know these chiwaratas which first create an island of hair in the middle? Eh? Then they eat the hair slowly, 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 until it's now no longer there. Eh? Like this man here said, but now, this, eh? Now, Sembatia, go and meditate. Eh? Eh? You come and go and meditate. You see this man here? Eh? Eh? Now, instead of cutting Shaolin eh? To hide a chwarata, just go and meditate on regeneration. Eh? 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 So come back here when your hair is back. Eh? Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, this is somebody I know, and I know he had the chwarata, but it went. There came regeneration. Chiwarata is part of decay. Decay. Anything that has anything to do with decay. Eh? Okay, one more scripture and I end. You know the scripture, 2 Peter 1:3. Eh? As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and by virtue or by power, but by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Remember, these are just promises until you go and meditate on them and make them realities. Okay? That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. That is the nature of God. Does God grow old? The divine nature. Now, we are not the one who wrote these things. Eh? Not human nature. Divine nature. Godly nature. And then he says, having escaped the corruption. The word corruption means decay. That's why he says, when they're talking about Jesus, he says that you will not let his son suffer corruption. He raised him from the dead. In other words, you will not let him decay in there. Now, corruption means decay. So you survived any form of decay. Chiwarata, what? You know? All those things. What is the other one? Wrinkles, gray hair, eh? Those things. Eh? Sorry? If your teeth become like what? In a form of decay, you have a promise that you can be regenerated And it, but how does that happen? By just, by the way, this guy just meditated on these things. Just, you talk about them, you'd walk home every day, walk, think about it. The next thing, the gray hair goes. Then the next thing, the chihuahua goes. Now at that level, you cannot be sick because life is inside you. Do you understand? In Yorkshire, you just bump on people who are sick and they get well. Because you're a carrier of what? Of life. Praise the Lord. Now this is the gospel of the kingdom. This is that, like, this is true, powerful gospel. And now it is with next to you. You don't have an excuse for living a normal life. You can live a divine life. Praise the Lord. You remember the other lady who said that she decided she'll walk in the rain and it does not hit her. You remember? So you get out of the house when it's raining and you're dry. And you're dressed smartly. And you're even in heels. And you're walking like this. In the rain. And then she said she even took a boda-boda. And even the boda-boda was protected from... Now, these are true stories. You understand? Now, but you see, we used to see, somebody told me in university, there was some guy who was, like, you know, a demonic guy. So he was introducing people into the occult and all those things. So one day he comes to scare somebody whom he had introduced to the occult, and the person left and got born again. So he sits, it is raining heavily. He goes and knocks on the door of the person and sits in the rain like this, and he's dry. And it is raining and the guy is dry. Now that is supposed to scare people like that. It cannot scare us. That is elementary spirituality. Elementary. Like just that. Because now some people say, no, that's of the devil. You go to your religions. Amen? The spiritual world belongs to God. There is nothing. The devil just manipulates some of these things. And of course, spirituality is the same. And it's a craft. It's, some people are regenerated. I mean, regenerate spirits that are born again, and those, some are not. So this guy is scaring people because he's walking in the rain. Until he sees somebody who is born again, walking in the rain, or stopping the rain, or saying, now we want to remove these clouds, because we have to have fellowship. Praise the Lord. And it happens. And people here have done those, they tell me these things. So many people here do these things. And so many other spiritual things. But somehow will not mess you up. But the thing is, because the foundation of all that spirituality is understanding that you're a spirit. Amen? So God made you spirit and he gave you this body to communicate with this world. Now when you don't use the body which was made to communicate with the world and make it think it can receive the revelation of God, it cannot. So you make a decision. Somebody makes a decision and tells that dead mother, go, I don't want to come. And the machines respond. Do you know the power of the soul? Do you know how you can use your meditative ability, which the Bible speaks of, and create a world that you want? Now, if that woman had said, hey, mama, and now she said, come and call you, see, now some of you even see them in what? In dreams. Somebody comes and is calling you, come. Then they walk and they even look back and you go like this. When you dream those dreams, you know there is something that has messed you up. Like, you're not supposed to be dreaming dreams where they are calling you to die. Really? Tell them, you go, I'm not coming there. Even with demons, you know, like, even when somebody has actually died in the natural, but their soul is not yet, you know, is somewhere in some transition. It's neither there nor here. There's a interim period there where somebody can change their destiny. Then the demons come and call you, hey, come. You follow them, they take you to hell. And once you go there is no coming out. Now I know people who have given testimonies of when they were in that place and they called on the name of Jesus and they were saved. Some guy actually said, the demons are calling me, come. Then he says, but this place is dark. They said, no, you come. He said, no, the place is dark. They don't really Now when they go to a certain place, they became themselves. You know the thing with the devil, he cannot be nice for a long time. Not like that time when he squeezed my neck. He cannot even keep on this deceitfulness for long. Like, you immediately become angry. So they, once when you go to the other man, they said, you come there, Troy, being nice, then he's coming. Come. Then when he said, but where are you taking me? They said, no, it's okay, you come. They said, ah, no. Then they became themselves. Eh? Then he just, I was listening to his testimony and whatever, and he's alive now. He died at the age of 37 that time. But now, I think that's when I had communion, he was 73, he was still alive. Then at that place, he said, Jesus! Then all the demons vanished. Then immediately saw a light coming, and the Lord was there. He said, you called me, what did you want? And he says, I don't want to go where those people are taking me. Then he pulled him and took him to the outskirts of heaven. Now he was seeing the glorious city. And he knew he did not deserve to be there. So he told the Lord, I think you've made a mistake. I don't deserve to be here. The Lord told him, we don't make mistakes here. So, but he told him, I'm going to send you back. Now the funny thing is he showed him a katambi of his life as far as heaven saw it. And it was a very, now he was the youngest PhD, what, you know, he had won awards, what, all those things. But the katambi only showed him when he was consoling his sister when their father had beaten him. And she was there. Then the Lord said, there you showed her love. That one records here. Then the guy said, what about my PhD? He said, that one, we don't know them here. Like, all the things that matter on the earth, he said, those ones we don't know. So the guy relayed all the powerful things of it. They said, no, that one, we don't know. Those ones don't count here. And his katambi was this short. Then the Lord said, I'm sending you back. Go and make your katambi longer before you come back. Now, things where you show love to people, where you know, care for, those are things which you record in heaven. Record. Now, as I end, how many times have I ended? The Apostle Paul used to end four times. Finally, brethren. Then he writes two chapters. So I want to be like Apostle Paul. Anyhow, this time I'm ending. Okay. No, you see, not everybody is called to preach. If you're called to be a president, and you go and become a president, and you become a godly president, then you're feeding your account in heaven. If you're called to be a teacher, and you be a good teacher, okay? Or even a parent, and you raise godly children. So, this is not about, you have no use to God in this, you know? You have use to Him here. Here is where you're going to influence people to go to heaven, you understand? So your commission here is very important. So if you go and become the president of this republic and you do the things God wants you to do for this republic, then you are the same as somebody who is converting millions when he was called to do that. You understand? Because the dominion is going to extend to every area. A good accountant, a good doctor, like that doctor who told me he was born again, who called somebody, no, come back, it's not time for you to die. Now he's doing the work of God on the delivery table. It's no different from somebody who is preaching. You understand? So this is not about you give up your aspirations. God calls each and every one of us to do things. And all those things add up to his kingdom growing. You see, now we are fighting religious bills. If you are the president, we would not be fighting that, would we? Yes. So that's why it's important for your aspirations to, yes. You're not balancing. You're doing God's will. You understand? And God's will is for you to be that. So if you are like David and God's will is for you to be king, when you become king, it's not about you, it's about God. You understand? Eh? So all of you lawyers, accountants, what? The dominion, it ties in everything. Every area of dominion. Now I'm telling you, like the Lord was telling me to go and start a football team, which is going to dominate football on this continent. And that is the work, and when I'm doing it, I'm doing the work of, if I don't do it, I miss on my reward. You understand? So it's not just preaching. So I'm going to start a powerful football powerful football team. Now, and it's the will of God. So you know, sometimes this religion made people think that it's Jesus is coming, stay in the church. No, 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 no. Like, we have to dominate every area. Football, dominated by believer. Politics, dominated by believer. Economics, banks, what, everything, dominated by a believer. And that's how, at that time, when domination has spread, then the rapture will happen. When we have spread the influence of the Lord in this country, in this world, praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, so wait, you'll see my football team. Eh? So if you want to limit me to end time preaching, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, because I thank you for the blessing that comes upon each and every person in this place. I bless your name, Father, because nobody leaves this place the same. Now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Somebody say, I'm the same spirit as Jesus. I am one spirit with Jesus. Somebody say, I'm in the spirit. And in the spirit, my seed yields harvest. Yields an immediate harvest. I don't sow in fear. I don't sow in unbelief. I believe in what I'm doing because I'm in the spirit. Now in the spirit, I reap an instant harvest. And it comes to me this week. By this week, I mean between now and next Friday. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody who is expecting an instant harvest, say amen. Ooh, I'm seeing some jobs here. I'm seeing people getting jobs in the name of Jesus. Your life is changing. Now, your life is not going to be the same. Step out of here, and when you're walking, tell yourself, I am a spirit. I'm in the spirit, and I cannot be touched because I am one spirit with the Lord. I manifest the results of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King, is coming.